Radio Reverb Brighton Festival 2017. Now, all of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017 with Melissa Dennett on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Absolutely right. You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Alita Dennett. This is Thursday's Brighton Festival special.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and the festival special is with you every weekday from 5 to 6pm, repeated at 10pm and at 8am. For the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking behind the scenes at Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and the people who make it happen.
On today's programme, I'm going to be taking a walk through a woodland trail for the birds.
We'll be going behind the scenes at a couple of festival venues.
And looking forward to some of the events coming up at the weekend.
And that's all in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, kindly supported by the Brighton Festival.
Starting off with some Brighton music, this is Tusker and Da Da Da. From Brighton, that's Tusker, starting off the programme.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. And this is the Brighton Festival special, running every weekday 5 to 6pm and repeated at 10pm and 8am. And you can catch up on other modern conveniences such as podcasts and the Twitterati.
We're all over the shop. We're all over the blooming shop.
We're on iTunes.
iTunes. If you go to Radio Reverb on Twitter, then you'll find links to all of that and some of the individual pieces as well that we're going to be playing out. And Brighton Open Air Theatre, BOAT for short, opens its gates for the Brighton Festival and Fringe with a programme of events for the whole family and their dogs. This unique performance space in Dyke Road Park opened in 2015, and this year it's set to host 100 events over the festival and then through to the summer. And if you went to Laurie Anderson's Music for Dogs last year, then you'll have a flavour of what to expect. I went up there to find out what there is this year in the venue to look forward to.
Hi, I'm Simon Evans. I'm the new patron of the Brighton Open Air Theatre, which is where we are this fine afternoon, ready to launch the 2017 season.
Now, for people who haven't actually been here, give us a flavour of what it's like.
The theatre itself is, as it sounds, it's a sort of rudimentary version of a magnificent Roman amphitheatre. There is seating on a raked style. It looked like old oak railway sleepers, which have been fashioned into bench-like shapes. We have a large concrete baffle, which acts as an acoustic reflective surface, but also protects the audience from the wind. And there is a large sort of oval shape, which is the performance area, which can be adapted, as all stages can, to various sorts of performance.
Now, of course, as the name suggests, it's open air.
It is open air, yes, entirely open air, although audiences are encouraged to bring headgear or even umbrellas if they think it might be inclement. But so far, I think I'm right in saying this, so far, very few performances have been seriously interrupted by bad weather. You'd be surprised, despite the British obsession with it looking like rain at any given moment.
It is today.
Yes, we do actually tend to keep dry. It's mainly a question of just, remaining optimistic and putting your best foot forward.
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie, and I'm the Brighton Open Air Theatre manager. We've got over 100 different performances and 40 companies, a mixture of local, international, national, professional, amateur, schools, and internationally renowned and everything in between.
So shows taking place this year in both the festival and the Fringe?
Yeah, we've got, just the same as last year, we've got shows that are featuring in the Fringe and in the International Festival, which is great for us. And also lots of shows throughout the season. So we're not just open for May, we're open from the beginning of May right through to the end of September. So that takes us beyond the festival period. And yeah, loads and loads of stuff going on.
Anything you're especially looking forward to yourself?
Okay, so we have got one show which I think is going to be a bit of a showstopper. We had a show last year which was Concert for Dogs, which was Laurie Anderson.
Oh, yes.
We've taken that idea and we've kind of developed it. So I think we're doing the first ever stand-up comedy show for an audience who can bring their dogs to come and watch comedians hosted by Simon here, who are performing also with their dogs. So it could be bedlam, it could be mayhem, but I think it promises to be one of the funnest evenings of the year.
Yes, dog-servational comedy.
So
there's going to be a lot of that. I think it will be interesting because the The interesting thing with stand-up comedy traditionally, which is what I do, I'm a stand-up comedian, have been for about 20 years, and people always say, when you tell me, oh, how do you deal with hecklers? And you say, well, to be honest, heckling is a bit of a dying art, really. You don't very often get heckled in comedy clubs, and when you do, it's usually something incoherent, monosyllabic, drunk, and unrepeatable. But traditionally, I always thought heckling was an important part of stand-up comedy because it introduces the element of the unknown. So that's what we're doing with the dogs. We're bringing back the capacity for chaos.
Absolutely.
The agents of anarchy will be present on the actual the apron of the stage as well as on the in the stalls. And I'm really looking forward to the idea that it could all really kick off. I think that'd be amazing. But if it doesn't, of course, if all the dogs are well-behaved, we have got a series of well-established professional comedians who are able to make it entertaining, regardless of whether the dogs provide any input or not as such.
It is one of Brighton's most unusual performance spaces. What's magical and special about it for you?
I mean, I think everyone agrees, from educationists to parents to, you know, just people in the pub. We don't get out indoors enough, you know. We just remain in various little closed environments, observing things through screens of various dimensions. And there's just nothing quite like feeling, you know, wind, rain, fresh air and planes going overhead and the distant sound of children. And
we've had shooting stars.
Yeah.
We've had shooting stars at shows. We've had fireworks going off in the distance. You know, it can be amazing watching a show here. It is so different from anywhere else. It's, you know, it's really special. And also what's very, very special is that our audiences can bring their own picnics. They can bring their food, their drink. It's a really affordable night and or day out for the whole family as well. And I think that's what makes it very, very special, is that real sense of community that you get when you come here. Very, very inclusive.
That's Anne-Marie Williams and Simon Evans at Brighton Open Air Theatre, and you can see Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors there from Friday the 25th through to Saturday the 27th of May, including Friday and Saturday lunchtime performances. So take a picnic and sunblock and an umbrella, because you never know what might happen. And while that was on, Rebecca Sandlers and I, we had a terrible admission that we've not actually seen anything
never
there. But fortunately, we are joined in the studio by Al from Albion Raw, who chipped in and said, I've been there. So it's like, right, let's find out.
What's it like?
It's actually a very fabulous setting. If you go there of an evening when the sun's setting, it's a very idyllic setting. It's beautifully laid out. It's in a kind of a horseshoe shape. You're right. There's kind of grassed block terracing, so there's plenty of room to take your picnic and your champagne and generally be sort of all.
Oh, we can tell what kind of picnics you have.
Absolutely. Well, Carver,
they do
I'm
now.
Not posh.
Albion fans do now. That's the kind of picnics they've been having recently.
Yes, they tend to get sprayed around rather than drunk. But yeah. The only downside I'd ever say to it, it's probably not far enough away from Dyke Road. It's about 100 yards away from Dyke Road. And every now and again, you get a motorbike herring past. But apart from that, it's a beautiful setting. They've got the acoustic wall there so you can hear the actors clearly. I've seen that. I've seen Much Ado About Nothing. Mm-hmm. I think that was the Brighton Shakespeare Company. I've seen a solo show called The Marlowe Papers. And I've also seen the Brighton Beach Boys there, and they're actually doing, of all things, a Bowie tribute, which is obviously what the Brighton Beach Boys would do. But as a space, it's wonderful. Highly recommended. It's a real asset to the city, a real sort of positive thing that, you know, hashtag only in Brighton. It's a wonderful place. And if you do get an opportunity to go, do go, because it's fabulous.
Thank you very much. And are you celebrating the Albion going up in style then?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
You can't remember.
Yeah, the last few days have been a blur.
Okay, well, and Albion Raw, of course, Saturdays midday. And midday, yeah. Yep. So all the football talk.
It's the last one of the season coming up this weekend, so thanks to everyone who's listened.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Alan. Well done to the Albion. We've got more Brighton music now. This is Indigo Skyfold by You and Who's Army. Homegrown music, that's You and Who's Army, and the track is Indigo Skyfold. You're listening to the Brighton Festival special on Radio Reverb, kindly supported by the Brighton Festival. We're live Monday to Friday, 5 till 6, with a Saturday morning show at 10 a.m, if we remember to get up in time, with Melita Den and Rebecca Sandals then. Rebecca Sandals is going to be in this hot seat, which I'm currently sizzling for her on Friday night.
Not now, you said that, I'm not.
Oh dear. Oh dear, okay, right, well. She may or may not be here.
My face is looking as disgusted as anyone hearing this might imagine it's looking.
Okay, well, Rebecca, it's your go now.
Right. Quick change of tone and tempo. Let's talk about a show. Endings is a candid study of our views of death and the fragility of life. The show runs right through to Saturday evening at the Open Market and makes an innovative use of, as the old market, isn't it? Not the open market. What am I saying?
It's the old market. Old market in Hove, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
I'm having a moment there.
It's okay.
The show runs through Saturday evening at the old market in Hove and makes innovative use of digital, analogue and mobile technologies. It uses recorded conversations around the theme of ending, and the show explores how we stay connected to loved ones who are dying and those who have died. Well, it sounds sort of solemn, but I'm not one to shy away from a conversation about death, so I went along to see the show earlier this week and afterwards spoke to some of the audience to see what they made of it. We're all a bit gobsmacked, I think. Anyone got their first thoughts or feelings on what we've just seen?
I found it really moving, quite affecting. I work in healthcare and I work with people who are nearing the end of their lives, so I, on a daily basis, I'm meeting people who are sort of older and perhaps ill, and so maybe it affected me a little bit more because of that, because I'm working with those sorts of people, so yeah, maybe touched me a bit more because of that.
And there was a lot within that, the use of the lighting and the sound. Did that add or detract for you?
No, I thought that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that, actually.
I'm afraid I'm negative on this, where I'm not particularly sentimental about death, so I didn't find anything in the substance of the story really resonated with me, and without that, I didn't find the performance art interesting because I wasn't following the story that much. So, but I think I'm by myself having spoken to these four.
Okay. So, I'll let them. So any other thoughts?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really beautiful.
Where was the beauty? I'd agree with you. I found moments beautiful as well, but why that word?
I think it was just the kind of the combination of the light and the music, and I thought it was really kind of very thoughtfully, sparsely acted, I guess. Like, it was just, I found myself connecting quite a lot, and yeah, I thought it all came together really well.
And you step back, is it?
I don't have much to add, really. Just I found the whole atmosphere they created quite effective, and I like the different aspects of it. I had the singing and the lighting, and it was just a good experience.
You're sticking with your didn't like it.
Yeah, if the story grabbed me, I think the performance would have been brilliant. But because
the story's death, I mean, how does death not grab you?
I'm not sentimental about it, I guess. It's just, it happens.
It does indeed happen. And there I was speaking to four people who just watched Endings at the Old Market with me, and it's running right through till Saturday, and 3 out of 4 ain't bad as far as the recommendations, and I really enjoyed that show.
Well, we were talking about this last night, and I'm actually going this evening, so from what you were saying last night, it's tape loops, recordings of people talking about death and loss and light projections.
Yeah, well, one of the issues about describing the show is there's so many different layers on what is actually really simple, but at the same time, they've got sound, they've got light, they have live singing, they have pre-recorded conversations and memories, and it's sort of the way it weaves between them in a simple way, but actually quite complex, and so it's quite hard to kind of explain it all and give a sense of it, because, you know, running through all that is that thrust, it's about death.
Okay, well, I will find out for myself tonight. So thank you very much. So that's at the Old Market in Hove. It's called Endings, and 7:30, and runs through to Saturday. There's also a 2:30 matinee on Saturday. Thank you very much for doing that, Rebecca. It's very interesting. I'm really looking forward to that one. A little bit more Brighton music. Going to be finding out more about what's happening in the Brighton Festival after Seabed and Pretender. I will play that at every available opportunity on Radio Reverb. That's Brighton's Seabed and their new track, Pretender. You're listening to the Brighton Festival special on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online and on DAB. And thank you very much to the Brighton Festival for supporting this programme. And Rebecca Sandals is going to be looking at some of the events taking place over the weekend at Hangleton. She's going to be up there with her trusty recorder this weekend. So this is part of Kate Tempest's thing of taking the festival out to the wider community.
It is indeed. So it's part of the Your Place, Enjoy, Talk, Create strand within the festival, and there's plenty of details all about the specifics of what's happening when at Hangleton this weekend, the 13th and 14th, and then at Whitehawk next weekend, the 20th and 21st, and that's at brightonfestival.org/yourplace. So I don't, you know, the details of what they're going on at Hangleton, I know they're preparing local company, local groups, local people are getting involved, there's stuff programmed through the weekend. So tomorrow I will have been up there and spoken to a couple of of people who work at Hangleton Community Centre to find out exactly how they've got involved, what's going on, and how it's sort of affected the community centre and the people and what they're doing up there. So more on that, the specifics tomorrow.
Great. I'm looking at this one, which is the Electric Youth Ensemble, taking place at the Hangleton Community Centre this Saturday, and poet Tommy Sissons is going to be there. Kate Tempest is going to be putting an appearance in, but it's all based around Audio Active, which is a charity which works with young people and getting young people involved in spoken word. So please don't rock up just expecting to see a Kate Tempest gig, because you know, give a little bit of thought and care to the community as well. If you want to go to that, you're going to have to book your tickets. They're free, but they are available via the Brighton Festival website. I guess are they still available? Do you know? Don't know. There's no one way to find out, isn't there?
I will find out. I'll update on that tomorrow.
Okay.
And I think that the point being is anyone organising something in that kind of space needs to have an idea of numbers. And obviously, it's going to be great to see the support locally and from people in the wider Brighton area getting involved and seeing what's happening up there.
And I think it's a fantastic thing as well that people in the wider Brighton area definitely feel valued within the Brighton Festival as well, and that's been the whole thing that Kate Tempest has been doing. And earlier in the week we talked about the Storytelling Army, who are going to be popping up as well. So I went along to one of their workshops, and you can catch up with that on the podcast. So I'm very impressed to see these kind of breakaway things happening within the festival this year.
Well, it strikes me, if you've got a map of Brighton and Hove and sort of put pins as to where there are festival events happening, this year would expand far more than I'm going to be brutal here, and this isn't true, but you know, more than Dome and Glynde, you know, we've got a lot more going on around different spaces. And also just the sort of thrust of the theme of storytelling and this kind of demographic of the performers is bringing a really new, interesting dynamic to the whole festival experience, I think.
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
And here is a poem by Tommy Sisson, just to get a flavour of what may well be happening on Saturday.
Make sure to always be careful with your words. Realise that the things that you say are heard, and that goes for every tweet and YouTube comment ever made in the whole wide world. That's why they call it the World Wide Web. That's your social life. That's where your mates at. Say, BRB, return 10 hours later. Well, OMG and KMT, GCSE, English prevailing across the nation. And I can't promise we'll ever meet again, but I'll monitor how old and fat and ugly you get whenever I'm checking my Facebook. I watch Falls from Grace like the parents at Amy Winehouse did. That's something I can promise. Be careful not to spend the rest of your life at the computer. You'll change. Your hair will get greasy and you'll start to act ratty. Hibernate for winter with your pants round your ankles. A search history so filthy it would shock Kim and Aggie. They'd have to call in the cavalry. Rubber gloves and everything. See, video killed radio. DVD killed video. Netflix killed that. Now there's illegal streaming. Everything becomes as pointless as Yahoo in the end. My PS1 is the only thing I've been keeping. I'm old school like that. So keep cutting and cropping, poking and blocking. If you have Twitter, consider following your bailiffs. In this media age, it's concerning, because the writing on the wall round here reads, Brad loves Chantel, Gaza was here, and other such confessions and cultural statements. Gurns and lemon suckers, wearing flip-flops in the snow, hashtag hurry up summer. See, the web's been teaching me to swear since primary school. When I enjoyed saying naughty words like I was sexting. It's no use telling children to clean out their mouths when they don't sell Listerine on Club Penguin. Club promoters do my head in. They're cruising for a bruising when they appear on my inbox like, hey man, cheap entry and hipster bands, come down for free shots and them 80s jams. Well, fuck you, your launch night and your Essex tan. Hashtag swag. Hashtag white guys in do-rags. Hashtag you're a twat. Go and Snapchat that. Hashtag free my mate from prison. He ain't done sh. That crack was already sold. Those necks were already slit. I live life like a TV blooper. Inbox full of blackmail. Hack your way into them government databases and leak what they've been saying. But only if you can gain asylum in Russia. Many people would like to tap into my head. read my thoughts, study my moves, and I'm scared they will. The magic of technology is more than smoke and mirrors. It shows a fat girl a pop-up on ways to get thinner, and the chronic wicker's methods to make their dicks bigger, techniques that sound like a Sunday afternoon at Guantanamo Bay. Which reminds me of them birds on Facebook selling themselves for a bill. Attracting granny bashers, cradle robbers and filth, a strange lack of ego for an album of selfies and grimy old bastards unsatisfied with just touchscreen. I've been getting a lot of emails recently telling me I'm the millionth customer, but I never get my free sh**. I've been thinking a lot about these emails recently and I'm starting to think they may not be legit. It does piss me off. If I could, I would delete all the keyboard warriors, enter a new space, control my escape through Word, refresh the whole page and start again. But Christ knows we're not there yet. I'm still careful with my words.
Whoa, that is good stuff. That's Tommy Sissons. He's going to be appearing on Saturday at Hangleton Community Centre. It's going to take place at 7 p.m. If you want tickets, you have to book tickets online. What do you reckon on that, Scandals?
He's not Pam Ayres, is he? For younger listeners, Pam Ayres was a very BBC Two, Mother Loves, Woman's Own type poet back in the day. Now, I thought he was fab. I'd seen a couple of clips on YouTube before, and listening through to that, he's got talent, our Tommy, isn't he?
He's good, and he's a local lad, and he's putting something back into the community. But he's not Pam Ayres, will probably be on his gravestone. But you've been having a little poetry trawl as well, because there is a poetry trail which runs across Brighton and Hove. Across Brighton. Not Hove, runs through to Sunday. Where have you been?
Well, I just nipped into the Dome foyer coffee shoppy area, and also into Jubilee Library. Now, I keep thinking it's take a walk in my footsteps. So it's in their
in
shoes,
their shoes, yeah.
And quite literally, in order to hear the poems, you are in the shoe, so which I found quite interesting.
Wow.
So won't even go on to the poems yet, but just the sense that what you have, you've a board and there's a pair of shoes hanging up, and you pick one of the shoes up, put it to your ear, and after about 3 seconds the poem begins. Now, don't do what I did, which is I put it foot down with the sole on my ear and couldn't work out why I could hear nothing. The simplest task.
You didn't
task,
try and wear it either, did you? And see if you could absorb it through your foot.
They might make nice earrings, actually. No, finally I worked out that the brown leather brogue should actually be the other way round, so that my earlobe was akin to a small foot entering it. And then I could actually hear the poem. And I could smell the leather as well, which was slightly disconcerting, I found. So it was kind of, it was a sensory as well as auditory experience. All of my senses were going. And that particular poem was on depression, the theme around depression and racism and suicide, and there's actually some notes on it, not for under 12s, and I would sort of underline that.
Yeah.
I remember from it the sense of rhythm and rhythmic tale, and it was a... I need to go back and listen to it again. It was... an interesting piece.
It sounds as if it was quite impactful.
The problem that I had, as you could tell by the length of time it got me to talk about the poem, was I was quite distracted at that point, this being the first time that I'd held a leather brogue to my ear to hear a poem. So I think, bearing that in mind, just be prepared to sort of go for it and then have a think and then listen back for the poem in itself. The second one I listened to at Jubilee Library, I was more prepared there for the black suede boots that were awaiting me hanging up in the library.
You got it right this time,
Second time around, I knew how to place them on my ear in order to hear a poem rather than sort of get a sort of, I don't know,
boot print
on my face. Yeah, exactly. And that one was a story around someone dealing with a disability and trying to attempts to open a bottle and help, and people's responses to people with disabilities. So both very powerful poems, and experiencing them in a very different environment, which is what this is all about. So I think, you know, have a look on the, there's a specific page giving details around the In Their Shoes. There are details on the website as where you can find them, and the times there's access to go there. And it's a few minutes listening, and an interesting experience. I can still smell the suede brogues
Run through to Sunday. So it's taking place, I've got the list of places here. So Brighton Dome Foyer, Jubilee Library, New Writing South in Jew Street, Brighthelm Centre and Waterstone. So that definitely sounds worth a look over the
weekend.
Yeah,
if you're wandering past any of those, pop in, pick a shoe up, put it on your ear the right way, and you can have
Do what Rebecca did.
It's a good lesson for life, that one.
Yeah. Well, on Saturday, going back to the event at Hangleton Youth Centre, Worthing's marvellous Olivia Louvel is going to be doing the lighting. So it gives me a chance to play one of her tracks, because I'm a bit of a fan. This is Olivia Louvel, and the track is Beauty Sleep. I can't even say it. That's Worthing's mighty Olivia Louvel. She's going to be doing the lighting at the event taking place at Hangleton Community Centre on Saturday evening. And if you get a chance to see her live, she is absolutely superb. But I don't think she's going to be playing any music. But there you go. You've got a little bonus there here on Radio Reverb.
Hey, Melissa, you're okay when you put your teeth back in, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
You can
great.
String a sentence together. It's great. You're listening to Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio
Cheeky
Reverb.
Mail.
Thank you. 97.2 FM and online. And the festival special is running Monday to Friday. In fact, Monday to Saturday as well. Is there a show Saturdays?
Monday to Friday at 5 and then a Saturday morning.
There you go. Right through festival season.
And for the birds is a site-specific installation taking place after dark in a patch of woodland above Brighton. It includes electronic bird song, video installations and lighting effects. I went there on its opening night. This is what I found. I'm in a secret wooded location just outside Brighton, and I'm here for the birds, which is an installation of light and sound. You walk through the woods guided through darkness by small lights. There's electronic bird song, there are video installations, and there are mechanical bird whistles. And where I'm standing now, I can see a number of bird cages with lights inside them and electronic bird song. It's a transformation of this wooded environment into quite a surreal experience. So you walk unguided through the woods. Takes about an hour to get around. New experience. The woods in quite a different way. I'm walking through the darkness. Just turned a corner now, and there are what look like fireflies dancing in red lights. Yeah, let's go and have a look. So red lights strung up in the trees, moving hither and thither. Very spooky. Very spooky indeed. It's almost like the aliens are landing in the wood. Oh, wow. It's a stream of white lights darting through the woodland.
I know, because we can see it from up there, and then we think, what is that? What is that?
It's an amazing transformation, isn't it? Just being out here at night.
You just feel really special,
so nice.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, something really special.
So
lovely.
Unusual.
It's like a little moment.
I love that, watching it going down there. It's like the bird. That, it's like it's flying. It's beautiful. That's impressive, that one.
This one's
my
favourite.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
So some of it is simple, but very dramatic. I'm standing underneath a tree that is festooned with green lights flashing on and off, and the sound of electronic birdsong. Just the drama of the lighting and the sound makes you see the environment in such a different way, combined with the wind rustling through the leaves of the trees.
incredible.
It is beautiful. I've got the best spot, I think.
You have?
This is, I'm staying here, claiming it for the rest of the time. I'll spend the night here. It sends me to sleep, though. The sound is like, oh, it's really nice.
And that is for the birds. And it's fair to say it's not been without an element of controversy. There is actually a petition online against it for claiming a negative impact on the environment. And I have tried to get one of the creators on the show, but no luck yet. Brighton Festival has issued a statement, though, and they say that they have undertaken an extensive consultation process over the past few months with experts and relevant authorities to ensure that For the Birds can be produced both safely and sensitively. And they've also confirmed that due to concerns raised, they're now in consultation with specific groups and will be taking forward any additional recommendations. Rebecca, you've actually been volunteering up there.
I have, yeah. Well, I was there on the preview evening on Friday, and then I was up there last night when there were some technical problems with the generator, unfortunately. Oh. And I know everyone at Brighton Festival was grateful for the patience that the people who were up there, and unfortunately the show had to be called off last night, but it's back up and running. So, but even the people who were there and had started going around the walk were like, we want to come back, we've seen, we know, you know, we're coming back to this. And I certainly, the response for those who've been around, rather like yourself, has been wholly positive. Wrap up though on a warm night,
oh, it's absolutely
cold,
yes,
up there.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I thought it was absolutely stunningly beautiful, but I have to say, you know, as I went around, I was wondering about the environmental impact, but I thought, well, no, they must have talked to people, because obviously, you know, they got the land off the council as well, and you don't just rock up and pitch something up there like that. So,
well, I mean, you know, one can sort of have comment. You stand up there. As you stand up there of an evening along the downs, all you are seeing and hearing are roads in the distance. So if you start talking about environmental, we'll be here. We can open a bottle and be here for several hours when we talk about environmental impact of decisions taken in the Sussex area.
Yes, quite. Yes, I have to say the traffic noise was quite disturbing when you were trying to see it. So I thought it was very beautiful and very stunning. So, but I would like to hear more from the council about, you know, that they have actually, or sort of from the festival, they have actually got sort of, you know, the blessing, I suppose, of environmental agencies for this project. Okay, well, let's go on to listen. We're going to hear a little bit more Brighton music, and then we'll be finding out about Fabrica, which is one of the venues in this year's Brighton Festival. From Lewis, this is Mimilks. Hour coming towards a close rather gracefully-ish, and we're looking at some of the venues that are running during the Brighton Festival as well. So let's turn our attention to Fabrica today. It's a former Regency church on the corner of Ship Street in the Lanes, and in previous festivals it's hosted large-scale works including Brian Eno's brilliant 77 million paintings, and this year it's home to Onlar by Turkish artist İpek Dubin. That's a powerful video installation exploring people who are considered outsiders within Turkish society, and a very real resonances for our own culture as well. And this year Fabrica celebrates 21 years as a gallery and a performance space, and I went there to meet director Liz Whitehead to hear more about Fabrica's history.
It's a rather lovely, if slightly scruffy, Regency church, and we've been working out of this building since 1996, where we've been commissioning, programming, mainly large-scale installed visual art pieces in response to this lovely, lovely space, and also running a series of smaller projects, which are generally sort of, they're focused on developing artists' kind of practice, so focusing on artists developing new work or trying out ideas.
So it is a big old space, yeah, in the middle of the Lanes, very recognisably a church as well, because at the front here we've got the wooden pulpit, we've got a stone font at the back and the stained glass windows. So many of the original features have been retained as a gallery space.
Yep, I was one of the group of four artists who kind of took over the building in the early to mid-90s. And I think one of the decisions that we made then was it was very churchy, and there's no way this was going to be a white-walled cube. And actually that the particularity of this space, the churchiness, the sense of it having had a previous life, was in itself the offer for us as an organisation. And we started off from that premise, and we're still very much kind of working with that idea that artists want different kinds of spaces to respond to in their work, and that I think our ambition at the time, and I think we've realised it, was to offer all the kind of professionalism and the kind of organisational expertise that a gallery would provide, but with a very different kind of space.
And it has some of the, well, this is obviously not an original feature, but this dates back to the First World War, a roll of honour of Brighton men who served in the First World War. So a lot of these original features have been retained and in fact celebrated.
Yeah, I mean, actually, when we took over the building, all the memorials had actually been covered up. I suppose in some ways we were a little bit intimidated initially by the very churchiness of it. So we kind of kept the memorials covered. And also at that time, I think we actually built a wall, a kind of masking wall over the altar as well. But over the years, we've just kind of removed a lot of those covers and just, you know, let artists work with the space as it really is. There's several memorials in the building. One is the Anderson Memorial, who was an early preacher. There's also a private memorial, I think, to somebody who drowned at sea, which is covered up there. But there's also a series of smaller memorials around the building, including some of the stained glass windows. So there are lots of quite discreetly placed kind of messages, stories, lovely stories kind of embedded in the building that we'd really like to explore further. And it's a really important building for Brighton and for this part of the city.
Could we go through this very fine stone archway? Because there's a gallery up above, and it'd be nice to pop up to the gallery and see what kind of different view we get. Well, the acoustic's really different up here. As we said, it's a large space. It's quite a challenging space to fill. You need large-scale works in here to fill this space, don't you?
We do. I think when artists first visit the space, they can be a little intimidated by it. I mean, I always say you don't have to completely fill it, you have to make it feel filled. And that there's a distinction that I would draw between those two things. Our next exhibition during Brighton Festival is called They Onlar, by Turkish artist İpek Duban. It will give a sense of filling the space. But, you know, it's 9 large-ish screens. So it's about the balance, really, I would say, of visual material and dark space. We've certainly had some exhibitions here that have completely filled the space and you know, taken people on very disorientating journeys. Mm. And then other exhibitions which have just been perhaps one large piece of sculpture, like Brian Griffiths' Beneath the Stride of Giants. So
Brian Eno's festival work here as well a few years ago was terrific. It was a perfect space for that.
Yep, it was one work, you know, quite a technically complicated work, and it was quite a big build. It really did embed itself in the architecture of the space, which I always think is brilliant to be able to do with an artwork, is where the building becomes part of the sculptural experience. I think that's what we're always really trying to aim at.
That's Fabrica director Liz Whitehead, and you can find out more about both the building and their programme of events from now through the Brighton Festival and beyond at fabrica.org.uk. And I really do recommend Onlar as an experience. It's a free video installation, very, very powerful, and you can see more about Onlar in the Brighton Festival in the festival brochure or at brightonfestival.org. You'll be listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online, Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6 p.m. repeated 10 p.m. the same night, 8 a.m. the next day, and are very kindly supported by the Brighton Festival.
And we want to thank all of today's guests, and in fact I think everyone who kindly sort of talks when Melita and I thrust a microphone before them at short notice about what their involvement is with festival or what they've thought about a festival show. And I'll be back having done just that with my microphone in the next 24 hours with Friday's festival special tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. And now I'm going to play you out with Brighton's Sparrow. This is their track, Europe 2016. From me and Rebecca, bye!